Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wrigley Stadium.
Leave Chris Bryant alone. He's going to leave Chicago at some point. I don't know if it's going to be in 2 years or a couple months at the deadline. In the offseason. Don't know. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670. The Score 820. We've got the early odds segment. Gave you a winner, another big golf winner, early odds. Last Wednesday, Spencer McInwell came on, talked about how much he loves Dustin Johnson. Then we mentioned it on Thursday night, that after day one at the Travelers, he was 80 to 1 at BetRivers.com. So looking forward to my conversation with Dan Lifschatz at 8:20. Before we get to some more stuff on Cam Newton and the timeliness of the Patriots, or just a genius move today. Get you some details on that. I was wondering when the Cubs were going to come out and speak. Like, the White Sox have had a bunch of Zoom calls recently. Well, they decided to talk today. They put the general manager and the manager on a Zoom call this afternoon. And the question over the last couple of days, just about roster construction and inviting, picking the 60 players to invite, because that's the list you're going to be working on all season as they start the season on July 24th with 30 players available. Here is Jed Hoyer talking about that roster construction.
Obviously, this is the first time we've done this, and so I think, you know, we've been talking about the 60-man roster, I guess, for a few weeks now, knowing that this was a possibility. We didn't know what all the rules would be. Once we knew all the rules, the last, I guess, 4 or 5 days, we had a lot of conversations about the right way to put it together. And the more we talked and the more we got familiar with the rules, I think we felt like the right thing to do was to leave space. You can add a player anytime. There's no restrictions to adding players, but taking a guy off the 60 requires a real transaction. So a release, an outright, a trade. And because of that, because it's a lot easier to add than it is to subtract, we felt like the right thing to do was to leave room to maneuver. We can, you know, get to camp, get a feel for our guys, you know, get a feel for our depth. And then if we get to a place where we feel like we need more major league depth, we can pivot in that direction. If we get to a place where we feel like we can add a few more prospects to our list, then we can do that as well. But we sort of felt like, why pigeonhole ourselves now? Why not, you know, leave that flexibility of 10? And like I said, we're doing something for the first time. So why not sort of dip your toe in the water a little bit? And then if we can, you know, we can pivot from there in the right direction. We just don't know exactly what the right direction is going to be as we sit here today.
Jed Hoyer this afternoon talking about the roster construction. I think that was a smart move. Now, we expect all of these teams to use all 60 spots, but the Cubs used 50, send 39 to Wrigley for summer camp, and 11 to South Bend, Indiana for summer camp. And then the White Sox only used 44 spots, but it makes perfect sense to me. Because you're going to have all of these tests on Wednesday. We're going to get results midweek on a lot of these players. So far, No Cubs or White Sox players have opted out. It's happening elsewhere, like Mike Leake, like Ryan Zimmerman, right? But it makes sense. Stay open. What if all of a sudden you've got five infielders testing positive? Like, oh, wait a second, we didn't have enough infielders. Or you have a bunch of pitchers going down. And you're going to have pitching injuries early on in the season. This is something that's never been done before. Spring training 2.0. We witnessed it last season, and the excuse was given that Kimbrel was so bad because he missed part of the season, and he had to go through another spring training and ramp it up. Well, are we going to be seeing that this year? Hopefully not, about the majority of Major League Baseball. So I think it's a smart move if you're leaving 10, or in the White Sox case, 16 spots open right now, because we have time. We have time. Here is more Hoyer talking about his concerns for high-risk players.
Well, I think you have to talk to each of those guys individually about, you know, their concerns. I mean, my understanding is, yes, they would be at a higher risk, you know, because of their cancer in the past. You know, to this point, you know, we have not had anyone that's talked to us about opting out as we sit here today. But that said, you know, I've seen in the last hour or so that three players around the league have opted out. I'm sure there'll be more. And I feel like we have to respect that. You know, everyone's going to come at these decisions from a different angle, but I don't think anyone that, you know, plays in the major leagues is going to make that decision lightly. You know, they're going to make it with a lot of, you know, input from by friends and family and probably from teammates as well. And they're not going to take that decision lightly. So, you know, right now we don't have anyone that's that we know about that's considering it. But I think if we did, we would, you know, we'd respect the decision and understand that this is being made from a, you know, from a very important place of wanting to keep either themselves or keep their family members safe.
Yeah, that's how you have to look at it. Jed Hoyer, Cubs general manager with the media. Obviously, at the start there, he's talking about Anthony Rizzo and John Lester. John Heyman reporting today that Rizzo is good to go. Gordon Whitmire reporting that Yu Darvish is expected to show up at summer camp. But to the moment, nobody's talking about opting out. You have to wonder, are there going to be any surprises last minute when we get to Wednesday? Is anybody going to opt out? Or maybe they change their mind and they have a real talk with the rest of their family over the next 48 hours before they start showing up. Like, oh, you know, maybe it's not time. Look what's happening in the rest of the country. I'm going to opt out. Going back and forth over the last month or so. And then at the last second, they decide. So that's still in the cards. But Hoyer confirms right there that right now they have not heard about anybody opting out. The three players that we know about, two on the Nationals and one on the Diamondbacks. Zimmerman and Ross from the Nats, and then Mike Leake with the Diamondbacks, and I'm sure all three of them have very different reasons. But I have wondered about Jose Quintana. But then over the weekend, we see a picture of Jose Quintana hanging out with Tom Brady. I'm like, ah, yeah, he's showing up. He's not too concerned. You're hanging out with Tom Brady. NFL's like, hey, Tom, stop holding these workouts. He doesn't care. And they're in Florida, the two of them. Things are spiking down there. So hopefully Quintana does not test positive when he shows up at Clark and Addison. I believe he's among the 39 that will be at Wrigley Field. Here is more of Jed Hoyer talking about two staff members on the Cubs testing positive for COVID-19.
You know, we're certainly hopeful that we don't have you know, any players test positive when they do the intake, but you know, at the same time, I think we're aware that there's a, you know, that possibility certainly exists. I don't know about the percentages, what's going to happen when we do the intake. As far as positives right now, we currently have two staff members that are expected to be delayed and will not be with us at the beginning of camp, you know, based on positive tests. To this point, we have not had any players test positive.
Can you say who those staff members are?
No, we can't. And actually, it's something that, you know, going forward, I know it's going to be something we're going to talk about all summer. But, you know, we're not at liberty to give out names, you know, because of HIPAA violations and regulations. And so, you know, I think we're allowed to sort of talk about, you know, numbers and things like that, but we're not allowed to, you know, give give individual names. I think it's up to those individuals to decide if they want to announce it. So, you know, right now, like I said, right now we have two staff members that will not be with us at the beginning. Those tests were administered at home. They were not based on the intake. And we have not, I believe, to the best of my knowledge, we've not received the word yet about the first wave of intake results yet. We started testing on Saturday. We don't have those results yet, so I can't tell you anything based on intake, but those are from kind of pre-flight tests.
Follow up to that, Jed. So in terms of transparency during the season, if there's a late scratch, are we going to know if it's COVID related? How's that going
to
work?
No, we're not at liberty to say which injured list a player is placed on. So no, we're not at liberty to say that.
How much more testing do you guys have to do for both players and staff? And if you've gone through the testing process, will you explain to us what it's like?
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow. So I don't know yet, but you know, my understanding is it's a saliva test to test if you're positive for COVID now. And then it's a blood prick test that you put on a slide, and that's the antibody test. So that's my understanding of what the majority of what the intake test is. It's an antibody test and a COVID test. You know, I think that the great majority of our players are going to test on Wednesday. I think most people are traveling Monday and Tuesday, and then most people are going to test on Wednesday. So to this point, I think it's only a handful of players that have tested so far.
That's not as bad as a lot of us thought. They don't have that 5-foot stick they're jamming up everybody's nose. A saliva test and a blood prick. So there you go. That is Jed Hoyer. You know what? We have one more chunk. Let's squeeze this in before we break for our early odds segment right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is a little bit of Hoyer and also David Ross chiming in. With the rules this year, if you get this far, the plan is for the trade deadline on August 31st. In turn, a lot of pressure for a fast start. Here you go.
Your roster probably has undergone more speculation than anybody's in baseball over the last year or so. And whatever shape the team might look like on the field come whatever trade deadline this might look like, do you see much movement at all happening in baseball at a trade deadline, given the economics and the weirdness of the season, much less your own roster?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's way too early to tell. I just don't think we know what this is going to be like. You know, I think that we'll find out a lot more once we get into it. I don't have a feel for whether there's going to be a lot of movement or not. There's been a lot of speculation out there that there's not going to be much, but, you know, frankly, I think that's a speculation. And the truth is that, you know, like I said before, none of us have ever been through this, and we have no idea how people are going to feel on the 31st of August. So I don't know is the honest answer. I really don't.
David, you guys talk a lot about wanting to get off to a good start hot, but with the shortened season, how much more emphasis is there on the start of the year and how you guys get out to a right foot?
I think it's going to be really important this year. Just obviously you got a short season, so it makes it that much more important, but even beyond that, you know, it's going to be unusual. I think when you look at all the different regulations and restrictions and things like that, I think the more guys can be having fun and enjoying coming to the ballpark every day, you know, the better. And I think that obviously, you know, we all know winning makes a lot of things that maybe inconveniences kind of go away. And so I do think getting off to a good start is going to be important for us mentally, just as it's important because we're only playing 60 games. And so I do think a fast start is important. But like I said before, I do really feel like I said before, it's roughly the time you have after the deadline every year. You can't treat it like a dead sprint. You're going to have some patience. And, you know, every game is very important. But at the same time, we're still playing for 2 months, and there's going to be some ups and downs even within a 2-month season.
Cubs GM Jed Hoyer with the media this afternoon. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm sure tomorrow we'll get word that more players across Major League Baseball are opting out, and we'll find out if anybody's on the Cubs or Sox, and we'll hear more about players testing positive. All that news is really going to start coming out on Wednesday. Every night at 8:20, we bring you the Early Odds segment. You made a lot of money if you listened to the Early Odds segment last week. Coming up next, one of my favorite follows on gambling Twitter is Dan Lifschatz of 98.5 The Sports Hub. He joins me next. This is 670 The Score on the radio.com app.
I'm about W's. I don't care.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they use on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
All right, you guys are in for a treat tonight. Let's get the real deal on Cam Newton and the impact that Newton will have on the New England Patriots. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Joining me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, shop over 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. One half of the Bankroll Boys. He hosts Over Under 98.5 on 98.5, The Sports Hub in Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Lifschatz. How you doing, Dan?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Appreciate you taking time for jumping on. Sure. So you got the Cam Newton news. I think a lot of people were expecting this to happen for months and months. I don't want to hear what the callers think because, as you know, as a longtime producers, both of us, the callers can be pretty dumb. You're always ahead of it.
You said it not me, man. You said it not me.
You're on the inside. You're fighting against the people out there that think the Patriots are going to win every single game, every single week. What's the real deal? Tell me how this is going to work, and is he the locked-in week one starter?
I actually don't think Newton is the locked-in week one starter. I've talked to a few people who have been aware of the situation for quite a while. I mean, you know, there's a couple people who have been saying this is going to happen since March. And to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't believe them. I didn't really want to believe them either because I'm kind of all in on Jarrett Stidham and have been for the past year or so. So I kind of wanted, you know, it to be Stidham. But from what I hear, Newton is going to, you know, be there for real competition. It's not going to be handed to him. It's going to be legitimate competition. And I think that, you know, listen, there's no real downside. The Pats are, you know, giving up, what, $1 million in cap, maybe a little bit more. At the end of the day, I think that, you know, it's not going to be prohibitive to what they want to do. And they get to see what Newton has, former MVP. You know, we'll see.
By the way, what a beautiful move by the Patriots today as this comes out right as they're finding out that, oh, yeah, you're not going to get that third-round pick in 2021 because of what happened with the Bengals.
Listen, if there was a masterclass in public relations, Bill Belichick would be the master of PR because unbelievable that they basically – no one's talking about, you know, the cheating.
Nobody.
All we're talking about is Cam Newton. And it, I mean, the Patriots are well-versed in this, of course, as you know. So, you know, they're pretty much at the point where they knew it was perfect timing.
Dan, you said a moment ago you were all in on Jarrett Stidham, and it sounded like you were comfortable heading into the 2020 season with Stidham as your QB1. Why?
Well, I mean, I take a look at the division. I think Miami has, you know, improved significantly. I think, obviously, what Flores has built there is, you know, going to be, you know, with the arrow up. I like Miami quite a bit this year. And I think that the Jets are being overrated, not only in the betting markets, but just the betting public. And I honestly think that they're going to struggle again. I mean, you know, while I like Darnold quite a bit, I think the coach, the organization, there's a lot of dysfunction there. And I personally am not going to be wagering any of my money on, or, you know, any of my marbles on the Jets, you know, this year. So I'm pretty down on them. And then, of course, the Bills. Everyone is super high on the Bills. And we see this every year from, you know, NFL fans. You know, last year it was the Browns and the Bears who were going to be unbelievable and make that jump to the next level. And then, you know, both teams kind of came crashing down, as we know. And I think that this year that's the Bucs and the Bills. And obviously, you know, the Bucs might be a slightly different circumstance because you know, they signed Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and maybe things are slightly different than normal there. But Josh Allen, to me, is not a good quarterback. And I know that there's tons of people out there who will disagree with me, but there's nothing that he really does that's impressive. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't hit your reads correctly. He doesn't make the short pass, which is, you know, just one of the most important plays. He's a good intermediate passer, but, you know, down the field, he can't hit anyone. Stephon Diggs is a big home run threat down the field. If he can't get any, you know, get the ball to Diggs, that guy gets frustrated. We saw it in Minnesota. I don't have a ton of faith, and everyone loves Sean McDermott, the guy who got pantsed in national television in the playoffs by Bill O'Brien. That's not a good look for me either. I think everyone is significantly overrating both the, you know, both Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. And to me, it does leave the door open for the Patriots to win the division again. Well, I don't think they're going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender. Everyone's saying that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender with Cam Newton. I don't think that that's the case. I think they have a legitimate chance now to win the division.
Yeah, Josh Allen MVP bets are last year's Mitch Trubisky MVP bets. So yeah. What's the Patriots-related bet that we make? You said that they could win the AFC East. You could still find spots that will give you plus money if you're to take the Patriots to win the AFC East. Is there a future you like? Do you like a certain side to a win total? What's the Patriots-related or AFC East bet to make?
Well, I mean, the total until last night was 8.5, which I had been, you know, pretty decently, you know, heavy on the over already. At 9, I think you're probably looking at a no longer valuable situation. I think 9 is, you know, 9 to 10 wins is right where you kind of expect that team. And so, yeah, if you're getting 9 or 10, in my opinion, it's kind of a throwaway. I think, as you kind of said, Joe, the best value bet for the Patriots at this point is to get the Pats to win the division at plus money. If you can find anywhere from a plus 130, which I saw is out there today, to even an even money bet, I think you're looking at, you know, a really, really solid bet that you can always buy off, you know, during the season if you really want to, and, you know, take, you know, whether it's the Bills who are, you know, contending, or, you know, the Dolphins, who I think are a dark horse in the division. You know, you can always kind of buy off and maybe take the other side in a few games. But I really think the Patriots at plus money to win the division now is a pretty good value, especially with all the hype and everyone backing Buffalo. I don't like the Pats to win the Super Bowl, but the division has some value.
Joe Ostrowski with Dan Lifschatz, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. The Red Sox going to be any good this year?
No. no, they're not. I mean, just to put it simply, you know, when the win totals originally came out, they were at 88.5. You know, my partner, Joe Murray, who does 98.5 Sports Hub podcast and the over under 98.5, he was on the over for the Red Sox. And I was like, no. So, I mean, we strongly disagreed there. And obviously, the win total moved from 88.5 to 84.5 down to 83.5. So there was definitely movement there. The Red Sox aren't built to be a legitimately elite team. Now, their offense may keep them in some games this year. They may win, you know, 10-7 and kind of, you know, push that 500 mark. But, I mean, their number one starters this year is going to be Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, no Chris Sale. David Price is in L.A., and Rodriguez has never been able to hold up for an entire season, and now we're only talking 60 games, so there's a potential that he can give you, you know, number two stuff out of that number one role and, you know, give you some good innings for, you know, the duration of the 60 games, but there's no real consistency on the back end of that, you know, that rotation. There's health issues everywhere. The lineup, again, you're going to have to get a ton without Mookie Betts. I just don't think the Red Sox are going to be in a position where, you know, you really want to touch an over or a playoff bet on that team. I still like the unders there.
Dan, we've got a lot of new bettors here. I mean, hey, there's new bettors everywhere. You deal with them out by you as well. And I use this segment to try and pass along a couple of lessons from some of the sharpest minds around. And I include you in that group. You are a winning bettor. You're an entertaining follow on Twitter. Tell the people how long it took you to become a winning bettor and some of the lessons, kind of like the, as Whale Capper always puts it, the tuition that you had to pay to become a winning bettor.
A long time, Joe, a long time. It took me quite a while to become a profitable bettor and someone who can consistently, you know, churn that plus EV, which means, you know, breaking even, being profitable. Listen, the biggest thing that I'll tell you is you're just not smarter than the algorithms and the line setters that Vegas has. And, you know, whether it's Vegas or whoever's setting the lines these days, those guys have been doing it for years. They're better than you. They know more than you. They have better information than you do. And their computers and algorithms are better than yours. So the name of the game is don't bet parlays, okay? You're burning your money. Vegas doesn't give you options that are not profitable for them. So if you're a new bettor, parlays are a terrible way to make a bet, okay? Parlays, teasers, and favorites. That's what Vegas was built on. Guys who want to go in there and, you know, bet the Boston Celtics every night. The guys who want to go in there and bet the Patriots money line every night. You know, while it can be profitable to a certain point, eventually one last bet is going to lose you everything that you've just gained and then some. And then you're already, you know, going from behind. So my lesson to every new bettor out there, don't bet parlays, don't bet teasers, and don't bet these big favorites every week in, week out. You're going to lose your money, and you're going to lose it fast. That's what these guys are known to do. They're good at their jobs. They're better than you. They're better than me. So, you know, if you've been doing this a long time, you know, parlays, teasers, and favorites, big favorites, just avoid. Avoid. Or, you know, find the value spots for the favorites. You know, don't bet the Patriots every week. It's okay to take the other side. Trust me.
That's excellent, Dan. And I do want to follow up on one thing, the teasers part, because there are a lot of people out there, some people that kind of know what they're talking about. They swear by NFL teasers, only NFL. I'm not talking any other sport. I'm not even talking college football. You're saying that we should not be betting NFL teasers anymore?
I think in certain situations, two-team, six-point NFL teasers can be profitable. I think you can probably find one, two-team, six-point teaser every week. I'd say that's where your profit, you know, with teasers can be. Outside of that, no. I don't think they are profitable. And long-term, most people struggle with them. They lose their money, and they're not plus EV on them. So what I would tell you is, you know, maybe one teaser, 6 points, two teams. That's it. Outside, yeah. I think you're looking, you know, I think you're playing with fire.
What's your best and worst bet to sport to bet on?
Well, let's see. Surprisingly, my best sport last year was WNBA.
Yeah.
WNBA is a sharp man's game. You got to get in. You got to get your line in early and often. And if you can give them out early, right when the lines come out, you know, because the lines move quite a bit, then you do very well. So WNBA and college basketball are my two best. My worst is baseball. You know, it's a constant grind every year in and year out. Some years it can be profitable for me. Some years it's not. I try to do my best in it, but it's such a hard sport to bet because it's such a long season. It's almost like five seasons in one season. So you're constantly trying to adjust what you're thinking and how you're thinking. And it's very, very tough. And the guys who are profitable at it are, you know, they're the best. But WNBA and college basketball, if you want some stuff, follow me on Twitter. I like to give it out and, you know, I like to help out.
Dan, what are you grinding on right now?
Oh, man. There's a lot, you know, horse matchups really for me have been, you know, the go-to. I know that sounds ridiculous, but, you know, nothing to bet. Horse matchups have been the go-to for me because I think that you can find some legitimate value in horse matchups. If you have a, you know, you'll see these matchups lined very differently than, you know, the actual race lines are lined. And so because of that, you're able to find some good value on, you know, maybe a five to one versus 10 to 1, and you're getting, you know, almost even money. And so because of that, I've been able to get some pretty good value on the horse matchups here and there. And we've been finding some good stuff there. South Korean baseball has been another one. I think if you're willing to wait for the line movement and, you know, wait for the lines that you would like, I think that it can be profitable in certain situations as well. But right now it's tough. I know people have been playing ping pong. They got burned out on that real quick. Because, you know, it became very, very difficult. I know that people have been trying to bet marbles and all sorts of other stuff. You know, everyone's just dying for action right now. But I would tell you, if you're looking for something, you know, to kind of bet, maybe, you know, get some more education, kind of teach yourself a little bit, look in the horse racing matchups. There still is some value on the board there, and they're not heavily bet. So, you know, you can usually find some good, you know, some good prices.
Dan, I had a feeling that your response to the best sport was going to be WNBA, since I follow you on Twitter, and you're right. It's a sharp man's game. Like, why is that? Just because these are softer markets, not as many people betting into them, and they just move so quickly early?
So, yeah, I mean, the WNBA is a small market, and so because of that, when there's legitimate money coming in on the side, the lines are going to move much quicker. Because when you have, you know, when you have an NBA game, for instance, you're taking money on both sides from, you know, millions of different people. It's not that big of an issue. But when you get constantly hit by big guys on a sport, you know, on a sport with lines that are, you know, not getting much action at all, the lines move, you know, constantly. And while the market is growing a little bit, I mean, it's definitely grew last year, and, you know, hopefully this year will grow a little bit more due to the fact that there's not going to be, you know, a ton to bet on. Maybe we'll see what happens with the, you know, the resumption of everything. But I think that it's, you know, it's just a market where big money moves things really quick, because these books don't want to get beat on, you know, one side, because if everyone's on one side one night, it's just a massive liability for them. And so they need to move these lines very quick. They don't want, you know, everyone piling on one side.
Appreciate the time, Dan. Stay safe, all right?
All right, Joe. You too.
Dan Lifschatz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And you should check out his show. And just because you're not in Boston, it's in podcast form every single week. Does a great job with Joe Murray. So check that out at over under 98.5 on Twitter. Dan is entertaining. And if he thinks you're spewing a bunch of BS on Twitter about sports betting, like you're some tout out there, like you know everything, Dan will call you out on it. And I love every second of it. 9 o'clock hour, we've got Score Rewind coming your way. Couple other things on Cam Newton next. And man, wasn't that beautiful? Dan mentioned at the time how Bill Belichick played all of us with the timing of the Cam announcement. More on that next. Sports Radio 670, The Score, and the radio.com app.
You show me a good loser and I'm gonna show you a loser.
All right, update. Air conditioning guys left, so you shouldn't hear any drills the rest of the way. I don't think you ever did, though. I think we're good, as far as that goes. You still hear the sound going throughout the house. the vibration going on through all the vents. They'll be back in the morning. Another update. See, we got to get on the same page. So my daughter lost her second tooth at some point today, and she will, I don't know, both my kids like this. They will fight me. If it's like dangling in there, they won't let me just grab the damn tooth and pull it out. Like, there's no pain. It's more painful by you trying to keep that tooth in there for some reason. So they went swimming today. I don't know when it happened. She lost her second tooth. So I told her, well, you didn't let me pull it out. No tooth. No tooth fairy. I think that's fair.
That's a bunch of crap.
Next time, let Dad pull the tooth out. But I don't know. My wife said that a letter was written and the tooth fairy's still coming. I don't know if an email or text the tooth fairy or whatever. Apparently, tooth fairy's making an appearance. I just went upstairs. I said no. She tried to get through the back door into the basement, and I kicked her out. So maybe not. But anyways, so I guess the tooth fairy's going to come to my house. Maybe I'll see her. I heard she looks good. The pictures say she looks good. Cam Newton, going to the Patriots. So anytime we have an excuse to rip on Ryan Pace, Mr. Trubisky, we always jump on it. And I don't have a problem. I know what the Bears are doing. We all know what the Bears are doing. But they obviously overpaid for Nick Foles. Maybe he's the best quarterback of the bunch in the 2020 season, but they still overpaid for Nick Foles. They didn't sit back and watch how the market plays out. No, they want to give a guy $24 million and give up a fourth-round pick when they have very few draft assets as it is, and they need some depth on this roster. But they're all in for 2020. Okay, we'll see how that ends up working out. But it was just beautiful today. It was a tiny footnote, a tiny, tiny footnote that, oh yeah, the Patriots, they got their punishment today for the Bengals cheating with the video cameras. Third round pick, which is significant in the NFL. They lose a 2021 third round pick because of it. And it's a footnote because Cam Newton is going to New England. Cam Newton, maybe. Dan Lipschitz says maybe. Most people would say definitely is going to be the week one starter for New England, taking over after Tom Brady bolts for Tampa Bay. Let's take a listen to regular on 670 The Score. Mike Florio had to say about this on Pro Football Talk Live.
The other victory for the Patriots last night came from the timing of the leak of the Cam Newton contract, because I personally think what was going on, the Patriots knew that the NFL was going to leak and then announce the penalties from last year's Spygate 3. I don't know how many Spygates there have been. It's like Rocky movies. Last year's incident where, while a camera crew was at a Browns-Bengals game, ostensibly doing a feature on one of the team's scouts, there was recording of the Bengals sideline just a week before the Patriots were due to play the Bengals. Now, I still have yet to see anything suggesting that the Patriots football operations staff had anything to do with this, that there were any connections. Remember, I said from the get-go, investigate this to determine whether or not there's any connection between this video crew and football operations. And if you can't prove it, then it's just an innocent mistake. And you know what? It may have been a much smaller penalty if it had been an innocent mistake that had been committed by anyone else. But these are the Patriots. And thanks to Spygate 1, Spygate 2, which never went anywhere, Deflategate, that history of violations resulted in the seven-figure fine and the loss of a third-round draft pick. It's a big deal to lose a third-round draft pick. It's a big deal to lose any draft pick. So that was significant, but because it was the chaser to the Cam Newton news, it got far less play than it ever would have gotten, making the Cam Newton move even more brilliant and making me wonder at some warped level whether or not they really don't want Cam Newton, whether it was just elaborate PR cover for the long-delayed resolution to something that happened more than 6 months ago. And
so that was Mike Florio, and he's right. They played us like a fiddle, and we fell for it. See, a lot of times when teams do that, I like to go the other way, and I'm going to concentrate on the other story just as much, even though you probably shouldn't. Like, you're winning something, which is so dumb. But I'm guilty of it. But, like, yeah, we didn't forget. We see what's happening over here. But obviously, when you get a former MVP, when you get, for some reason, nobody interested in Cam Newton, I know the injuries, we all know, but it was so good, so good. Nobody's talking about it, but they pretend, and many people think they don't care about the media, they don't care what the media is talking about. Well, then why'd they do that? Of course they care, and we all fell for it. I wanted to address Richard Sherman. You may have missed this, this from late last night. So you have the news breaking, Cam Newton going to New England, incentive-laden deal, whatever it's going to be, the base $1 million or whatever it is. Richard Sherman says, how many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum? Asking for a friend. Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent, and less talented quarterbacks are getting $15, $16 million a year. Disgusting. What's disgusting about it? there wasn't a market. Schefter confirmed today, nobody was calling Cam. Nobody. The Patriots were the only team, and at one point, Cleveland showed some interest. So your Bears didn't want anything to do with Cam Newton. But they're going to go re-sign third stringers they don't want on the field for some reason. But nobody was calling Cam. When nobody calls you, you get the minimum. So what is Sherman saying? That there should have been more interest? The guy was injured. Like, that's the thing. You can't bring a player in and check out the health because of the pandemic. Everything's done via Zoom. Like, it's one of the problems with this year. He played two games last year. So you're supposed to give him $15, $16 million? Like, I'm with you if you're saying some of these other teams in desperate need of a quarterback should have shown some sort of interest in Cam Newton. I think the Bears should have. Absolutely. I don't give a damn about the system. Give me the most talented player. And then you work with that player. Totally get that. And even before he missed time last year, the little time that we did see from him, like, can he throw? I mean, a lot of us have been thinking that over the last couple of years. Like, look at what he's been doing of late. It hasn't been a whole lot. Now, of course, he'll go to New England and they'll win a lot of games and they'll probably win the AFC East. I kind of agree with Dan Lischat's there. Like, are you really going to bet on the Bills over Belichick with Cam to win that division? But as far as free agency, this offseason, I guess he's throwing haymakers at Teddy Bridgewater because he got 3 for $63. Or, okay, what are some of the other deals? So he didn't change teams, but Ryan Tannehill got paid 4 for $118. I agree that Cam's transcendent. I agree with that. He's also 31. I know, the same age as Nick Foles. And he's had a lot of injuries, and these injuries have piled up. So if you bring in Cam and you're trying to fix the position, you take on a lot of risk. And just speaking from the Bears' perspective, that's what they were trying to avoid. Like, we just want a higher floor than Mitchell Trubisky. That's not asking for a lot. How do we become a 15 to 20? How do we get our offense in that type of ranking? In the middle blob of the league. How do we do that? Well, get someone who knows the system. Get someone who's won some games, has the experience, and knows the coaching staff. Because we don't know when we're going to practice. I think they paid too much for Nick Foles. But I know why they got Nick Foles. We all know why they got Nick Foles. I'm more bothered by the fact that they refused to take a shot in the draft at a younger quarterback because they haven't fixed the position yet. But they're not worried about the future. They're worried about the present. So Richard, how can you not... I don't know if he's friends with Cam, but when there isn't a market, you're getting the minimum. That's what happens. I don't think there was some conspiracy. Nobody was interested because of the injuries. That's it. Oh, I'm getting MVP Cam Newton. I'm getting Cam just past his prime. A lot of teams would show up for that. But are you going to be available? That was the big question, and that's why there was hesitation by so many teams. Now, the other part that I question is, when you sign Cam Newton, does that mean he's your starter from day one? Many people would say yes. I would say no, because nobody's calling Cam. You don't have the leverage. So how do you say, yes, I will sign with your team, but only if I'm the starter? Okay, here's $1 million. Sure, you're the starter. No, it sounds like there's going to be some sort of a competition between Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham in New England. Now, it could get ugly if Cam were to not win the job, but I really don't see that happening. Don't really get that. But it happens so quick in this league. Like, when you lose it, when the injuries pile up and that window slams shut very quickly. Now, we'll find out if that's happened with Cam Newton, but we don't know. We don't know. Usually, we're talking about other positions. As with the quarterbacks, the really good ones can play into their 40s. The really, really good ones. With all the injuries, the different injuries that Newton's had, I don't know that he's going to be one of those guys. But it really feels like Sherman's taking shots at Ryan Tannehill, who had the highest passer rating in the NFL last year. I don't think it's real. He's not going to repeat that performance. But if you're Tennessee, you want Cam Newton off all those injuries, or Ryan Tannehill, who performed at a very high level in your offense and knows the teammates? Well, you're going to go with Ryan Tannehill. I'm not going to pay him $118 million, but I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. So Carolina moves on from Cam Newton, and they sign Teddy Bridgewater, 3 for $63 million. Dan McNeil on these airways was reporting that the Bears offered 3 for $60 million. I think that's what Sherman was doing. Like, you're getting rid of Cam Newton, and you're bringing in, for the most part of career, backup in Teddy Bridgewater. But he proved last year what he can do as a starter in New Orleans. The Bears defense saw what he could do at Soldier Field. So I assume that's where he was going. Also, very different circumstances. You're also bringing in a brand new head coach, and you're going to go through a rebuild. Yes, once in a while, rebuilds do happen, but that's what Matt Rhule does. He does rebuilds very well. So you're going through a rebuild, and you're going to keep Cam Newton. You're going to carry him over. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, based off what we've seen over the last couple of years. So sometimes you also need fresh starts. So I don't quite agree with everything that Richard Sherman had to say. You need a market. So the next time Sherman's available, if there's not a market, you're going to get what the one team is offering you, or you don't work. That's how it works. And Richard Sherman, certainly well aware of that. Very smart guy. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Got some great stuff coming your way for Score Rewind, including an NFL head coach and a baseball manager in town. That's next on 670, The Score and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.